We're glad to have Mr. Anders Stewart back again tonight. We've really enjoyed his time with us this week. And the boys and girls came faithfully every morning. And we had started off, I think, 107 on Monday morning, and that built up right throughout the week. And the boys and girls enjoyed Mr. Stewart, and he was also out and among about them after the meetings were over as well. And the workers also enjoyed them, telling me they really enjoyed Andre. And that's good, and we thank the Lord for that. And we're glad that he's back again tonight, and he's got a word from the Lord. And boys and girls, you're going to be very good, and you're going to listen to him as you did throughout the week. And you set a good example to these older ones behind you, and they'll sit up too and listen.
Well, I'd like to thank Mr. Patterson for his words of welcome, for his invitation to come and to take the Holiday Bible School this year in Kilkeel. I'd like to thank the parents for sending the children along, and also reiterate my thanks to the workers. As Reverend Patterson says, it's not a one-man show. There's so many. There's people that maybe were not seen buttering the toast in the kitchen and doing things like that and tidying up after the children had gone and hoovering the church. I wondered, as a wee test I set myself, I said, I wonder, does this church get cleaned every day after the Holiday Bible School? And true enough, every day I come in, that carpet was hoovered. So whoever that was, the unknown and the unseen, well, the Lord sees that. And I want to thank especially the boys and girls. Now, I told the children that there's two times during the Bible meeting that they had to be quiet, and they were very good. It was the prayer time, and it was the lesson time. And I always bring and brought someone with me every day. It was Clive. It was Clive's job to look out for those that were misbehaving, those that were chatting. And then Clive told me on the way home. But tonight, I didn't bring him for the children, because the children were so good every night or every day this week. I brought him for the mums and dads, especially the dads. So Clive's job tonight is to make sure no one's sleeping. Because usually you come into church, it's a bit warm, you've been maybe out, you maybe have work of necessity on the farm or something like that. Maybe you're prone to nod off and go to sleep. So Clive's job tonight is to watch the sleepers, okay? But I don't know if anyone will go to sleep. So we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes, and we're going to talk to our God in prayer. And we bow our heads to show our God respect. Our Savior was the only one that could look up into heaven, being equal with God. And we close our eyes to take distraction from our minds, that we'll focus in on the Word of God. So let's bow our heads and let's pray and ask God for His help and His grace. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day, the day of the new week. We thank you for the week that has passed, every grace and every mercy has attended our pathway. We thank you for every child that you've brought in. And we thank you, Father, for the word of life that we've been able to open and to teach the children. We thank you for the privilege of sowing the good seed of the word. And we pray, Father, that you would bring forth fruit to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask that you would empty me of my sin, consider my inability and my weakness, and send forth the Holy Spirit and mighty power, Lord, to infill me and to enable me to preach the message, the word that thou hast given, to help every little boy and girl and every parent and everyone seated here to understand the word of truth. And I pray, Father, that boys and girls and mums and dads, that this night that they will get right with God, that they will come to the Savior. We thank you for the one who refused none, who came sincerely and in faith to him. And we thank you, O Heavenly Father, that he is still the same. He will never, ever, no, not ever, ever, ever change. So grant unto me power, wisdom, and grace. I ask this in Jesus' name and for his everlasting glory. Amen. Now, just to recap with the boys and girls and to let the mums and dads and visitors know what we've been learning about this week. We've been learning about the Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful power, the power that Jesus Christ has. And we've been learning that Jesus Christ, he is truly God and truly man, fully God and fully man. He's not a mixture. He's not part God and part man. He's not half God and half man, but he's fully God and he is fully man in one person. And in the Bible, we learned that Jesus Christ, he has power over different things. Now, I wonder, is there anyone that can remember back to Monday This is brilliant. And think and remember what Jesus Christ has power over. He's power over nature. And we learned about how he calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And then on Tuesday, we learned something else, that Jesus Christ has power over Lottie. Excellent, nice and loud, power over death. And we learned about Jairus' daughter and how the Savior came to the house, laid his hand upon her, and she was raised from the dead. And then on Wednesday, we learned something else, that Jesus Christ, or someone else, I should say, Megan, the devil, yes. Jesus Christ has power over the devil, and though the devil is a mighty foe and a powerful adversary, the Lord Jesus Christ is all-powerful. And we learned about the story of the Savior healing the madman of Gadara. And then on Thursday, we learned, I wonder, does anybody remember what we learned on Thursday? Let me see, Alfie. Good man, the Lord has power over need. And we learned that the disciples had a need. The Savior had asked them to feed the multitude, and they had nothing. But the Savior met the need with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then the last day, on Friday last week, we learned about Jesus has power over, let me see, yes. What? Illness. That's right. He's power over illness. And we thought about blind Bartimaeus. And we had a wonderful time speaking about a wonderful Savior, the God-man, the only one qualified, the only one that has been appointed by God to bring us unto him. But tonight, boys and girls, mums and dads, I'm going to speak about something else in the Bible. It's a large subject in the Bible, a large topic, but it's only a little word. But it's very important. And tonight we're going to think about sin. About sin. Now, what is sin? It's a word we hear about a lot, especially when you come to church. But what is sin? Well, the Bible tells me that sin, it is breaking God's law. It is transgressing the law of God. And God has given us his 10 commandments. And every single one of us, we break the law of God. And the reason we break the law of God is because of that day in the Garden of Eden, Adam sinned against God. And Adam rebelled against God. And because of Adam's sin, each and every one of us are born as sinners. We have a sinful heart. That's why we break God's law. And you might think to yourself, well, that's not fair. I wasn't there in the garden. How come I'm born a sinner? How come I'm affected because of what Adam did in the garden? Well, I like to explain it to boys and girls like this to help them understand. Now, this week during games, we played a game called Rounders. And usually when someone stepped up and they hit the ball, if they hit it into the air and someone caught it, the whole team was out. The whole team was affected. And boys and girls and mums and dads, the Bible tells me that Adam, he is the representative of mankind. And when Adam sinned in the garden, it affected every one of us. That's why we all break the law of God. Now, I do a little thing to help not only myself, but boys and girls remember what sin is. Sin is anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's law. Wonder, could you repeat that after me? Sin is anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's law. Do you want to do it again? After 2, 1, 2. Sin is anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's law. And that's what sin is. And each one of us have broken the law of God. But here's an important question. What must God do with our sin? What must God, a God who is holy and a God that is good, what must God do with our sin? Now, I wonder if there's any boy or girl could tell me who would wear one of these and use one of these? Who would wear one of these and use one of these? Let me see. Yes, do you know? Oh. We'll go to someone else at the back. Yes. A judge. And the Bible tells me that the Lord, He is the judge of all the earth. And God must, and God will, judge and deal with every single sin. Now that's very important. You remember that. There is not a sin that you have committed or I have committed that God will not deal with. There is not one single sin that God will pass over or forget about or sweep under the carpet. God will deal and God will punish every single sin. Your sin and my sin, God will punish. He must, because He's good, and He must because He is holy. If God didn't punish our sin, He wouldn't be a good God. He wouldn't be a holy God, but the Bible tells me that He is good and He's holy, so He must and He will punish our sin. But tonight, I want to think about four things that God can do with our sin. Four things that God can do with our sin. Now, God must judge and punish every single sin, but there's four things that God can do with our sin. Now, the first thing God can do with sin that the Bible teaches me, He can blot it out. Now, what does it mean to blot out? Well, I have some things here. Now, in the olden days, when you wanted to write, you didn't have a nice fancy ink pen or pencil. You'd have had a feller, or they called it a quill. And they would have dipped it into some ink, and that would have soaked up the ink, and then they would have written on the paper. You know, boys and girls and mums and dads, if they made a mistake, there was no such thing back then as Tippex. Or there was no delete button on the computer. They needed a way of taking away the mistake, the mark on their bit of paper. So they would have used this here kind of paper. It's called blotting paper. And blotting paper, it's like a sponge. And when someone made a mistake or they spilt some ink, they would have got out their blotting paper and they would have pressed it on the mistake. And the blotting paper would have soaked up the mistake or the mark. And the Bible tells me that God, He can blot out our sin. It teaches us that in the book of Colossians chapter 2. That Jesus Christ on the cross, He blotted out, He took away our sin. Now the wonderful thing about it is that not only did Jesus take away our wrong and our mistake, and our sin, but He took it unto Himself. Just like the blotting paper took the ink unto itself, so Jesus Christ, the Bible says, He took our sins upon His own body to the tree of Calvary. And Jesus Christ, He can blot out our sin. He can take away our wrong and our sinfulness. And He does it by taking it to Himself. Now the next thing the Bible teaches me that God can do with sin is He can wash it away. Now I've brought some things with me and I want you to put your hand up if you know what this wash is, okay? Does anybody know what you'd use this here to wash? Let me see. Does anybody know? This little boy here. Your car, yes, you would use that to wash your car. Now, don't expect any boys or any men to know what you'd use this for. What would you use this to wash? This would be a girl's one. Oh, there's a boy there, do you know? The dishes. Well, you must be a good boy at home. There's not too many husbands know what you use that for. Does anybody know what you would use this here to wash? What would you use this to wash? Yes. Do you know, front row? Your what? Your hair. That's right, you'd use this to wash your hair.
Do you know, boys and girls, mums and dads, these things are used to wash away filth and dirt and muck and grime. But the Bible teaches me that you and I were all born with a sinful heart, a heart that is unclean. It teaches us that in Isaiah chapter 64, we are all unclean, spiritually unclean in God's sight. And I told the children that nothing that defileth, nothing unclean, nothing that spoils will ever enter into heaven. So we need our sin washed away. But the Bible tells me in Jeremiah chapter 2 and the verse 22, that even if we took snow water and we took some soap and we scrubbed ourselves, we could never take away our iniquity, our sin. There is only one thing that can wash away our sin. And the Bible tells me in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. If you ever want to enter into heaven, you need your sin washed away. You need it cleansed. And only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from your sin. So what can God do with our sin? He can blot it out. He can wash it away. The next thing God can do with our sin, He can... See, what's the next thing he can do? Oh, what have I done? Does anybody know what I've done with my next point? I forgot it. And some people would like to say that God forgets our sin, but that's not true. The Bible doesn't teach that God forgets. You see, to be forgetful is not a good thing. To be forgetful can get you into trouble. You see, if you forgot to do your homework, you'd be in trouble the next day at school. If you forgot to tidy your room, you'd be in trouble with your mom or your dad. If you forgot to lock the dog in at night, well, you would be in trouble. You'd maybe be out round the fields chasing the sheep. You'd be in trouble. To be forgetful is not a good thing. And God is good. And God is perfect. And God does not forget. Sometimes when you forget something, in a flash it can come back into your mind. In a moment of time, I remember. I needed to do that. I had forgot all about that. But God is not forgetful. There's something else the Bible tells me that God will do with our sin. He will not remember it. And that is different than being forgetful. For God is all powerful, and God has willed that those that come to Him and trust in His Son Jesus Christ, the Bible tells me in Hebrews 10 and 17 that their iniquities and sins I will remember no more. He does not forget about them, but He chooses not to remember them. And that's a wonderful thing for Christian boys and girls. And believers in the meeting tonight, God chooses not to remember our sin. Do you know what that means? Our sin will never come into the mind of our heart of God ever again. He'll never bring our sins before the child of God ever again, because God has chosen to not remember. That's different than being forgetful. So God, He can blot out our sin. God can wash our sin away. God, He will not remember. He chooses not to remember. But the last thing that the Bible teaches me that God can do with our sin, He can pardon it. He can forgive it. Now, boys and girls in olden times, if someone committed a crime or they were convicted of doing wrong and they were put into prison, someone could go to the king or the queen of the land and they could make request that they should let that individual go, that they should deliver them from their sentence in prison. And their king or queen, because they were powerful and because they set the rules in the land, they were able to give to that individual in prison a royal pardon. And that meant that that individual could be released from prison. They could be set free. And the Bible tells me that God, He pardons our sin. He can set us free from the punishment of it. Now today, you can still get a royal pardon. And it's very interesting when you read the words in the royal pardon, there's a gospel application. And this is what it says on the royal pardon. It says, "Now know ye that we, in consideration of some circumstance, humbly represented unto us, are graciously pleased to extend our grace and our mercy unto you." You see, someone had to come to the king and make representation. Someone had to come humbly and plead for the individual to be set free. And boys and girls and mums and dads, the Bible tells me that Jesus Christ in heaven, He makes representation before God with the wounds in His hand and the wounds in His feet. And so because of Jesus Christ, God can show us grace and mercy. God can set us free from the punishment of our sin. God can deliver us from what we justly deserve, because Jesus Christ makes representation for His people in heaven. So what can God do with our sin? He can blot it out. He can wash it away. He chooses not to remember it. And He can pardon it. And that's the wonderful news to everyone that's gathered in this meeting tonight. God can do this with our sin. But here's the important news. And this is where you really need to listen. God can do all this with our sin. But does God go around just forgiving everyone in the whole world? God is a forgiving God. Does God just forgive everyone? No. Because that means that no one would ever go to that awful place called hell. God forgives those who repent. And forgiveness can only be given on the grounds of repentance, turning from sin. And that's even the same as believers. Among the family of God, we can only forgive each other when there is true repentance. Yes, God will forgive all those that turn from their sin and trust in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, He's taken the punishment for sin on the cross. Jesus Christ has bore away our sin. He shed His blood that our sins might be washed away. And so you and I, we must turn from our sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I always finish with this one. I like this. What does it mean to turn from sin, boys and girls, and trust Jesus Christ? One last illustration. And I have it here. See, you and I were all born with sin. Because of Adam, we have all a sinful heart, and we all break God's law, and we all deserve to be punished. And God will punish every single sin. But what does it mean to repent and trust? Well, Jesus Christ in the gospel has shed his blood. And he offers a free gift of full forgiveness, full cleansing, full blotting away of our sin. The promise to not remember our sin, it's freely offered in the gospel. You know, boys and girls and moms and dads, if I was to try to pick up this ball in this hand, do you think I'd be able to do it? Will I give it a try? I'll give it a try. I'll see if I can hold on to my sin and receive the free offer of the gospel. I'll try my best. I can't do it. I wonder, does anybody know what I'm going to have to do with my sin if I want to receive the free gift of eternal life? What must I do with my sin? Yes. Do you know? Oh, I can't hear louder. I'm going to have to leave it. Going to have to leave it. You see, boys and girls and mums and dads and everyone that's gathered, you cannot. The Bible tells me you cannot keep a hold of your sin and still be in love with your sin and receive the free gift of God's salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't do it. There must be a turning. There must be a forsaking. There must be a leaving of your sin. Do you know what the sad thing is? There's maybe boys and girls and mums and dads. And you know what? They love their sin. And they want to hold on to it. And they don't want to let it go. And they don't want the free gift of God's salvation. And this sin destroys lives and takes souls to hell. How sad. How sad to not turn from the things in your life that you know that are sinful when God in Christ, he offers you full forgiveness, eternal life, and a home in heaven. I trust there'll be a boy or girl, a mom and dad, and they'll forsake their sin. They'll come to the wonderful Savior, the God-man, the one who died on the cross and shed his blood that our sin be forgiven. May the Lord bring you to himself tonight for his name's sake.